This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it. It is Cashing Out VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, broadcasting as always from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. You can always catch the show, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. We appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. And if you go to the website up at VSiN.com, you know one of the busiest men in America right now is one Zachary Cohen. He is our senior editor. He covers the NFL. He covers college football. He covers the NBA. He covers tennis. Is there tennis going on right now, Zach? I believe there is, like in Australia or something. So he's had a busy last few days here while everyone else was on vacation. And Zach joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm correct, though. There is tennis going on. I think Australia.
Yes, tennis started like last Thursday, so I've been really busy with that as well because I do handicap that every single day, and I do like have like 3 to 10 picks every single night. So if you are a tennis fan, head over to VSiN.com. I have you covered there.
I think they get started soon, don't they? Like, I'm pretty sure it gets started.
They're started right now. They're started right now. They'll be going all night.
All right, well, hold on. You're anything coming up that you like that we can share with the audience?
Yes, actually, I do have something that I think is about to start or starting very shortly. Okay. I have Hugo Humbert, Moneyline against Cam Norrie in Brisbane. This is a match where it's two lefties going up against one another. It's always unique when that happens. But Norrie is a player that I think we would have taken to win if this match were being played towards the end of last season. But Norrie's been dealing with a little bit of injuries throughout the course of the offseason, so I think he's going to get got early in this tournament.
So wait. So you like Hugo Humbert? That's who you like?
Yes.
Am I going -150 or -1.5 plus -125?
I'd go -150. I think you should probably be able to find a little bit better than that. But if you can't, then go for that.
I'm just going to do it. I'm just going. I believe in you, Zach. I believe in you.
It was -117 when I gave it out. So I'm hoping that you're not getting the worst of it. But I think you're still going to win.
Hey, all right. The steam may be correct. Okay, I'll ride with you. I don't even know who those two people are, but I'm betting it because I'm backing you. Also, a big part of your job here covering the NBA, Hardwood Handicappers. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. You're covering the NBA every single day on that. And I threw this at you in the break. I bet Cade Cunningham for MVP at 30-1. It was 50-1 a couple days ago. It was 40-1 this morning. It's 30-1 now. I don't know if he can actually win it, but maybe it shortens up and it can allow me to get some more money down in SGA, or maybe it becomes real and he has a chance here. But I think they're going to be the one seed. They're the one seed right now in the East. They just dominated the Knicks tonight. Is there a world where Cade has a shot here, or is it going to be SGA all the way?
I really think it's going to be SGA. I wish that there was a little bit more hope for everybody else. Like, I've made a case for Jaylen Brown as that kind of secondary pick, just hoping, you know, that SGA doesn't win it, or, you know, ends up not playing 65 games or whatever it is. They really should put up a secondary market for, like, who finishes second now that the Joker's not going to be eligible, because it's just boring to have SGA as a huge favorite there. And I do think people are interested in seeing who kind of challenges him. Like you said, like Cade's a good one. I think that Brunson has some fans. I think that Brown has a really good case. So I would actually be interested if they put that market up, but I guess it's a little bit too out there.
Yeah, I think you're right. But sometimes with these long shots, I say to myself, will I regret if it becomes real, even if it doesn't win? But there's like that couple day period where the bet comes to fruition. Am I going to regret not having it? So I said, screw it. I'm just going to bet it 30-1. We'll see what happens with that. All right, let's go over to the NFL. Playoffs begin. We now have the field set. Matchups are interesting in the opening round. You have a play on, it feels like, just about every single one of them. So let's begin with Buffalo and Jacksonville, because to me, I'm hearing a lot of Jacksonville love. I haven't touched it yet. Bills are laying 1.5. Total's 51.5. If I was betting it just to be an annoying contrarian, I think I'd go with the Bills and Josh Allen. And you're going to do that. Talk to me. Why are the Bills the right side here?
That's kind of where I started with it. I've just heard so much pro Jacksonville talk heading into this game. You know, a lot of talk about the wrong team being favored. And I just think we're going to see so much action on the Jaguars that I almost wanted to go with the Bills right from the jump. And then, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I just felt better about having Josh Allen in a playoff game over Trevor Lawrence, who I think has done really well this year with Liam Cohen. I think that Cohen's one of the best, you know, coaches in the NFL, one of the best offensive minds in the NFL. But I just think when push comes to shove, if the Bills do show up defensively, and I think that they will, they do have have a defensive-minded head coach. Like, I think that with a lot of extra time to prepare and the importance of this game, you should see a bit of a better defensive effort from Buffalo. I ended up, this game is close, Allen will find a way to win it. You said it off the air. Like, if this is not the time for Josh Allen, it's just never going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, am I really going to bet against Josh Allen? Just from a, I know it's the playoffs, everyone's motivated, but Josh Allen, one, he has dad strength now. Secondly, you know all about that. You get that. You've gotten the boost from the dad strength, haven't you, in the last year?
Yeah, I was just lifting a car to save the child.
That's what I'm saying, dude. So he's got the dad strength. He's also never had a clearer path to getting to a Super Bowl. He's going to be up against it, not because of him, because his team stinks and I don't trust his coach. But if he was ever going to get it done, it's this year. I don't think he loses to Jacksonville. So I'm with you. I think the Bills are the side I'd look at there. How about the Rams laying 10, going back to the scene of the crime in Carolina? Total's 46.5. You're going to lay it with McVay and company?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of points. I just think that the worst thing possible for this Panthers team is that they already have a win over the Rams. I just don't see it happening again. I do think that Los Angeles has the type of team that could blow out one of these bad opponents in the postseason, and Carolina is the definition of a bad postseason opponent. Like, I'm not even sure this team belongs in the playoffs. Like, I've, you know, been high on the way that Bryce Young has played throughout the course of the season. Like, he's had his spots where he has kind of performed a little bit better than I think that he's given credit for. I just don't really trust this team defensively to, you know, hold up against Los Angeles. And I do think there's a chance that this defense makes the Panthers offense look really, really bad. Like I said, it's a revenge spot for the Rams. And I do think that, you know, you look at Carolina's point differential, it's just not up to snuff when you're talking about a playoff team.
Zach Cohen is our guest, VSiN senior editor at Betting on X is where you can find him on social media. When these lines came out, there were two games that jumped out to me where I said, oh, no, the sportsbook's trying to trick you. Now, I fell for it, and I took the 3.5 with the Chargers, but I stand by it, going up against the Patriots. The other one was San Francisco was catching 3.5. It's up to 4.5. It felt like the sportsbook was like, yeah, no, you definitely should buy into the Niners. You should think it's all legit, and they can go on the road in the cold to Philly against that defense and win. Everyone's down on the Eagles' offense, but I'm with you. I think you have to lay it with Philly in this spot. It's 4.5. The total's 44.5. Talk to me about Philly.
I just think it's going to be very similar to what we saw against the Seahawks. I don't think that the 49ers are going to be able to move the ball that easily against the Philly defense that has really become very, very strong throughout the course of this season. I do think that that Niners defense is one of the worst units in the entire playoffs. I think you look at, you know, EPA per play allowed, this is one of the worst teams in the entire NFL. And I'm not the biggest Jalen Hurts believer, but he does tend to wake up in the postseason. Like, this is a guy that we've obviously seen win Super Bowls and do it, you know, playing at a high level. And I think he's just going to be able to completely torch this 49ers defense. So I think this is going to be a game where one team is scoring easily, the other one's working really hard. And I just can see, with this game being in Philly, I could see it turning into a, you know, a lopsided affair.
All right, the Texans and the Steelers. Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. I guess it was before Tomlin too. They haven't lost a Monday Night Football game at home, I think, since 1991. I mean, how old were you in 1991, Zach?
I was born in 1991.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Depends on what we're talking about.
I figured it was right. I figured it was right around, like, you were right around 91. So I was 6 years old. I was 6 years old in 1991. I do remember 1991. I was there. Okay. But right now, Houston's laying 3 at Pittsburgh. Total's 39.5. I'm on the under. If I was betting a side, I'd be with you on Houston. Tell me why that is the right side here.
Yeah, it's funny. I lean under, but I ended up taking the -3. I just think that this Pittsburgh team has run out of solutions on offense. I know that there's been a few games here and there where Rodgers has played well, and I think he looked, you know, decent when he had time to throw against that Ravens defense last week. But that Ravens defense has been a disaster, you know, for big part chunks of this season. Maybe not the entire year. They did kind of turn things around from week 5 on, but still not a trustworthy unit, especially in the secondary. And this Texas defense, I do think, is elite. So I think that Houston's going to have a pretty easy time stopping Pittsburgh. And the Texans offense, I think, got a lot better as the, you know, the season kind of rolled on. Even, you know, pretty much after like week 3, like early in the year when we were talking, you know, on this show about how bad the offensive line was, they got a lot better up front. I think the Stroud really settled into things and started to find, you know, some of those secondary weapons after Nico Collins and kind of build trust with those guys. And there's no threat of a running game. That's the one thing I don't like about the Texans. But I think that Stroud's going to be able to make enough big throws in this game for them to win by more than a field goal.
Chatting with Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor. Hardwood Handicappers is the podcast where he breaks down the NBA every day on X at Betting on X. Let's go to college football, man. We got Thursday, Friday football. You have a play in the Friday matchup, a rematch from earlier in the season. Indiana laying 3.5 against Oregon. Total is 46.5. Talk to me about the Hoosiers. Why do you want to lay the points?
I mean, I was dead wrong last week. I had Alabama to cover in that game. I thought there was a chance they'd win. I do not want to be going against Kurt Cignetti again. Like, this team is just too well coached. And I think that there's two trains of thought. There's the one where it's like, they're not going to be able to beat Oregon twice. It's really hard to beat good teams twice, but we saw Washington beat Oregon three times in the same season once. So, or what is it, twice in the same season? I don't know. I don't remember what it was, but I just don't trust Dan Lanning in big games. And I think that, you know, moving from Outson to playing on a neutral field only makes the advantage stronger for Indiana. And when you kind of look at some of the advanced numbers, Indiana's a little bit sharper when you're talking about EPA per play, EPA per play allowed, kind of early down EPA per play, just really everything. Like, situational football really favors this Hoosiers team. And I do think that I trust Mendoza a little more than I trust Dante Moore, who's probably going to be my New York Jets quarterback next year.
Oh, I don't know. I think Dante Moore might go number one. I'm not so sure Mendoza should be minus $4 to be the first pick in the draft. We will see how that plays out. He is Zachary Collins.
I'll take Mendoza in New York then.
Check out the podcast, Hardwood Handicappers, all the write-ups, everything over at VSiN.com. Appreciate, as always, you joining me, my man, and have a happy new year.
Yeah, you too. Good luck to you, Hugo Humbert.
Yeah, for real. Hugo Humbert. I'd never heard of the human before. It's a difficult one to say, but we got him minus 150. We're trying for him to win. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com and more. So check it out, Omaha Steaks. By the way, Team Flats all the way. You can get the drums right out of here. Flats, better surface area, more sauce, get crispier. Let's ride. I'll rank the coaching openings next in the NFL.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Cashing out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing out rolls on from the Circus Sportsbook. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I'm happy, man. I'm happy. I mean, generally, I'm not usually happy, but I'm happy. You know why? The bets are hitting. If the bets are hitting, it controls my mood. We cashed on our John Collins play up at VSiN.com/picks. John Collins right now. In the Clippers-Warriors game, he has 16 points. We went over 12.5. So in the NBA, that's a 5-2 night for us. In the association, 6-2 total with the one play on Michigan State and USC under 150.5. By the way, fourth quarter, Clippers made a run, extending things in the third. They're now up 94-81 on the Warriors. The Warriors are a weird team where it feels like once they get down a certain amount late in the game, they'll call off the dogs. 4:47 to go. You're down by 13. I don't know if we're at that point yet. Clippers are laying 10.5. Total's 198.5. If I'm betting this, I would think about Golden State in the 10.5 because it's just Steph. Can he heat up when it matters? But I'm staying away. I'm not touching that game. We will avoid it right now. But I'll keep you posted on who ends up winning. In case you missed it with the other game that was going on as we hit the air, Portland and Utah. Trailblazers win 137-117. We had two winners in that one. Shaedon Sharpe. Monster performance again, 29-5-7. Your most improved player, I'm going to butcher it, Deni Avdija for Portland, Israeli guy. He's awesome, 33 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. Across the board, man, he just contributes. He helps in every single facet of the game. But we hit on Klingon and Sharp on over their PRAs. As the Trailblazers rolled, man, they're not a good team, but they're a pesky team. I like betting on their player props, especially when Jeremy Grant's out. Depending on the matchup, who they're playing. Someone else has to step up as a scorer, and they've got guys who want to prove themselves. So I do like betting on Portland. They're a fun team to put a little money on from a player prop perspective. So that's where we stand with the NBA. We'll do more on the association as I try to find some player props coming up in a couple segments for the Tuesday card of action. We're going to try something out here. The numbers aren't up when we hit the air. They kind of populate throughout the night into the morning. Usually by the end of the show, we can find a couple that are available. But I want to go through my process because my whole situation when it comes to betting the NBA player props is a player's out, who benefits? Player's out, who benefits? Sometimes it's multiple guys. Like in Chicago's game today against Boston, I took three guys. I took Vucevic, I took DeSumo, and I took Herder. Because they had a couple of guys out, a couple of guys questionable for the matchup. Josh Giddey most notably not being in there. And when Giddey's so ball dominant, I mean, that leads more assists, more rebounds, more points across the board. So if everyone's numbers are kind of similar to what they usually are, but Giddey's not playing, there's going to be a trickle down where that spreads out through a couple of guys. For us, we went 2-1 in that game. Herder didn't come home. It was Buzelis, I believe, Matas Buzelis, who ended up having a better day, got the looks that I was thinking Herder would get, but we went 2-1 there. So sometimes you just look for these opportunities when someone's out, who's going to benefit, and we will go through that process later. It could be good. It could be bad. We'll see how it goes. But right now, I want to go to the NFL as we have six head coach openings across the league, and I want to rank them in order of which I think is the most desirable of these options right now in the NFL. And I was laughing at this graphic that was made of me as a head coach. First of all, let's show this because the Browns are number six for me. They are the worst of the jobs here, and I'll explain why in a second. But let's be very clear. One, I would not be a short sleeve hoodie guy. I might be a sleeveless hoodie guy, a cutoff. But I'm definitely more of a cleaned up head coach. You can't be sloppy as a head coach. I would prefer to be the tucked in polo with the visor, with the khaki pants, more of the Southern SEC football coach look. I don't know if I'd be the hoodie with the different colored undershirt and no hat on, but hey, it was a great job on the graphic here. Anyway, let's begin. This is how I'm ranking the head coach openings. The Browns, they are dead last. If they even hint at Deshaun Watson being the starting quarterback or on the team next year, when you're interviewing for this job, every single candidate should run away. Just leave the interview in the middle. Bail. Don't even acknowledge that they were ever an option for you. He was done before he hurt the Achilles. I don't think there's any shot he can play as anything left in the tank. And by the way, his cap hit is going to hinder this franchise forever. You're only going to get one chance to be a head coach, most likely, in your life. Being the head coach of a team led by Jimmy Haslam, probably not the best move for your future. In fact, let's hear from Jimmy Haslam, who talked about letting go of Kevin Stefanski earlier today.
First of all, ownership takes full responsibility for where we are. To win 8 games in 2 years is horrible. It's totally unacceptable, okay? And it's not going to continue, okay? And I want the fans to know we are as frustrated as you are, and we hear a lot from our fans, which we actually appreciate. We have great fans. They're extremely passionate, and they deserve better than what they've gotten the last 2 years, okay? No, I don't need to say anything else. We are going to give you a better product. Our sole goal here is to be a consistent winner, not make the playoffs in 20 and then make it again in 23, not win 8 games in 2 years. That's not what we're trying to do. That's not acceptable. Our fans deserve better.
I would argue then you shouldn't have fired Kevin Stefanski because since Jimmy Haslam bought the team, it was on October 16, 2012, but it was approved in August of that year. So I'm going to start from the beginning of the 2012 season where they went 5-11. Prior to Kevin Stefanski, with Haslam owning the Browns, they went 33-84. That's from 2012. You know what? Did I only go to 2019? 33-84? Maybe I botched it there. Either way, they were horrible. Stefanski's come in. They've gone 45-56, which isn't great, but they have 2 11-win seasons under Stefanski. Prior to Kevin Stefanski, the Cleveland Browns had won 11 games for the last time in 1994. And then Kevin Stefanski won 11 games in 2020, and he won it again in 2023, did it with Joe Flacco, did it with Baker Mayfield. Kevin Stefanski's a good football coach. He's going to be unemployed for all of maybe 5 minutes here. Someone's going to scoop him up. I'm not sure how good he is when there's expectations and the roster is better, but I know he does more with less, which is something, unfortunately, he's had to do because the Browns are a horribly run organization. My number five coaching vacancy out there right now would be the Tennessee Titans. I like Cam Ward. I don't love Cam Ward. I think there's a lot there with Cam Ward. I think it's very difficult to judge him properly when he was put in a situation where his head coach was fired midseason and he had no legit weapons to throw the ball to. And the roster's bare, especially on offense. Defense has some dudes, has a couple pieces that I think could help you if you build around Simmons and Snead, where the defense could do what we're seeing across the league, right? Houston and Denver and the Chargers. You rely on the defense, make it lower scoring. Your quarterback doesn't have to do as much, and you condense a game, and you give yourselves a competitive chance against other teams. The problem with the Titans is you're now on a different clock than the GM, and I just don't like that if you're a head coach. My number four job would be the Arizona Cardinals, because here's the problem. Monty Austenfort is still the GM. I'm not sure why, but he still is. And there is a world where they saddle you with Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has killed two coaches. Let's be very clear about that. He is not seriously, but ended their careers, I should say. He killed their careers, not them as human beings. Cliff Kingsbury and Jonathan Gannon are, I can confirm, still alive. There's pieces on this defense. You got Josh Sweat, Buda Baker, Will Johnson, the rookie out of Michigan. Darius Robinson looks like he has some promise. Walter Nolan, the third out of Ole Miss. There's some dudes here on this defense. I think the Titans the Cardinals are a decent job here because of that defense. But if they try to force you to play Kyler Murray, you do not take this job. You wait till next year if you have to. Number three, the Raiders. I know people are thinking the Raiders. Is this not the order I sent it in? Maybe I swapped this at the last second. Number four is the Raiders. You know, the Raiders have the number one pick. It's great to have the number one pick, but I'm unsure of who the best quarterback in this class is. Is it Mendoza? Is it Dante Moore? I think Mendoza, because he's the Heisman, he gets the bump. But at the same point in time, I'm not sure he's a game changer. He's probably closer to Cam Ward. He's good. I don't know if he's going to be elite in the league. And then you're also on a different clock than the GM, which is John Spytek, who's not really the GM because he answers to Tom Brady, who, according to reports, also answers to a bunch of other people in the building. So I'm not sure how the hierarchy is working with the Raiders. Despite having the number one pick, I can't make them my number one opening in the NFL. You need infrastructure. Their O-line and D-line are a mess. They haven't had a shutdown corner or decent secondary in a decade. They have two interesting offensive pieces in Bowers and Genty, but you're so far away from winning, you're going to have to pay them by the time you're winning if you take over this job, and you better figure out how to use them. I'm going to save my final two, but number three for me, I guess I'll save my final two, but this is the order. The Browns number six, the Titans number five, the Raiders number four, the Cardinals number three. That's how I would rank the openings. There's only two remaining. I mean, I can't be that mysterious with it. I won't say the names of the teams, but if you've been following the news, you know the names of the teams. So I do think there are two openings that I like a lot in this coaching circle. And one, my number one, I think, will be a surprise for a lot of people. We're at the end of Warriors and Clippers. I'm trying to look at the score. I got to look through a camera. It's 100-97. Is that right? So the Warriors did make their comeback. Let me see what the in-game number is. It is 101-100. Okay, Sportsbook is way ahead of this broadcast. It must be on Amazon or Peacock. That's what I'm noticing. I know we know streams are on a huge delay, but it is pretty, pretty big when it comes to NBA games. And was that a three? That was a three. So it's 100-101. I should have known that. I literally just said it 30 seconds ago. 2.5 is the number. Clippers are laying it. 209.5 is your total. There's 105 remaining. Warriors still catching 2.5. I do trust them in crunch time. I'd think about taking them, but we could have had 10.5 like 5 minutes ago. So, all right, the playoff field is set in the NFL. Who are the best bets this weekend? We'll ask Jeff Erickson from RotoWire on the other side of cashing out.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson with you all night long from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. We've got the end of Warriors and Clippers going down right in front of our eyeballs right now. 103-100, 42.7 seconds to go. And the Warriors have the basketball with a chance to tie it up on a three, or maybe they want to play the get a bucket foul game and see if the Clippers will eventually miss one. So we'll see how that goes on. I'll keep you posted on the developments throughout the end of this game. our final live game in the association. We will look at tomorrow's card coming up here in our next segment. But right now, we have to go back to the NFL. The playoff field is set. We have to look for some potential bets along the way. And to help us do that, we're going to go to the Progressive guest line. Welcome in Jeff Erickson. He is rotowire.com senior editor at Jeff_Erickson on X. And he joins us now on the Progressive guest line. So, Jeff, talk to me, man. We're in the home stretch. We've got the field set. When you looked at the field, you tell me, what was the first bet that you said, hold on, I have to have some of this?
Buffalo, Jacksonville. I can't believe Jacksonville's a home underdog. It's playing right into Liam Cohen's hands, though. He's been playing the whole disrespect card, searching for new ways to find new disrespect angles here, and they got another one there. They're a home underdog, and I get it. It's Josh Allen. I understand why. Buffalo's been clearly a worse team on the road and at home all year. And their defense is not that great. And Jacksonville is continually underrated on defense. I think at worst, Jacksonville should be getting the home field 2.5 points. And instead, they're getting points. So, yeah, I'm on Jacksonville. I'd go ahead and take the money line. Or if you want to take the point and a half too.
Jeff, I'm so conflicted on this game because I understand Jacksonville is the better team. There's not even a debate. Jacksonville is so well, they may be one of the more well-rounded teams. When you're going to factor in everything, they may not blow you away with anything sexy offensively, but they're just really solid. There's something about Buffalo and just having Josh Allen. That's the only reason why you would side with them. I'm kind of leaning there, but I'm not willing to bet on it. From a fantasy perspective, because you monitor these guys really closely, Jacksonville's group of weapons for Trevor Lawrence, Brenton Strange at tight end, really, really solid. Parker Washington has been on a tear the last few weeks. Brian Thomas Jr., a letdown from last year, but I think the Jacoby Myers addition may have helped him, and Myers has been tremendous. What do you make of the weapons Trevor Lawrence has? Maybe not like superstars, but across the board, really strong.
Yeah, adding Myers was transformative for this offense. You got a wide receiver that's willing to go across the middle. It made Lawrence that more confident through the, you know, and I think you could see it in his performance that more, you know, after the Arizona farcical game, which I can't explain, you know, Lawrence has been fantastic. He's been one of the more efficient passers in the league. You know, they're using his mobility a lot more. The game that really convinced me was going into Denver and not just beating them, but kicking their butt. You know, that was a command performance by that Jaguars team, and they just couldn't get stopped in that game. You know, you're going to put Surtain on Brian Thomas Jr., take him away, no problem. We're going to have Parker Washington carve you up because you can't cover him with your nickel corner, your slot corner. He's just going to destroy you. The development of Washington has been fantastic. Getting Strange healthy has been really important. You know, the one thing I have a concern about is that actually their run blocking hasn't been wonderful lately because let's face it, you want to be able to run the ball against the Bills. I think ETN should still have a decent enough day, but and of course, they have these designed runs for Lawrence, too. And I think that's going to work well against the Bills as well.
An update in the last NBA game. The Clippers just missed a shot. 103-102. 7 seconds to go. And the Warriors have the ball. I just put a very small bet just to have it to sweat out here in the next few seconds on the Warriors plus 145 money line. They're down by one. A chance to win it on the road. I mean, why not take it and just believe that Steve Kerr and Steph Curry can do something here with the game on the line? We're chatting with Jeff Erickson, RotoWire senior editor, VSiN contributor at Jeff_Erickson on X. Let's go to another game. You have two plays on this one when it comes to Philly and San Francisco. You know what's interesting? I saw that 3.5 out there. I went, no, I'm not falling for it. They want you to take the 3.5. They want you to back San Francisco. It's up to 4, 4.5, depending on where you shop. Total sitting at 44.5, a little bit down from 46. You have a play on the side. You have a play on the total. What are you looking at here?
Yeah, we talk about trying to set our own lines before looking at the lines. I set this at 5, and I almost made it 5.5. I think, you know, injuries are going to just take their toll on San Francisco. It's been an incredible coaching job by Kyle Shanahan, a great run, but you saw what happens when they run into a real defense. They saw that on Saturday night in Seattle. And yes, Seattle is a better defense than Philly, but it's close. Philly's defense is getting keyed up at the right time. Jalen Carter is healthy. That's going to be bad news for Christian McCaffrey. His rushing prop is down at 61.5. That tells you everything you need to know about what is expected out of this game. It's going to be tough sledding for the Niners. We'll see if Trent Williams is even able to play. I think that's a big part of this game as well. Philly's drawing a lot of criticism for not trying to play for the 2 seed. honestly, I think this is a fine matchup for them here at home. And then facing the Bears, it's not such a bad life to live anyhow. Kind of avoid that whole Rams Seahawks Nexus thing. I'm good with that. So I think Philly's kind of set themselves up to get to the NFC Championship game again.
All right. Final score 103-102. Clippers with the win. The play call ended up with a Jimmy Butler baseline drive in isolation and a fadeaway jumper. That was not the recipe I was looking for back in Golden State. So we end up losing that little on the fly wager there. But the Warriors win, or the Clippers win 103-102. All right, another official play for you, and I'm with you on this one. I don't see how Pittsburgh is scoring multiple touchdowns. Maybe one. But at best, we're looking at probably three more field goals from them. And then Houston doesn't want to score, and they're not good at scoring, and they're on the road against Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin. Right now, it is Houston laying 3, 3.5. Total is 39.5. You and I are on the under. Tell everyone why we're the smartest people in the room.
I'm definitely not the smartest person in the room. Let's divest ourselves of that notion real quick. But Nick Whalen and I were talking a lot about this game on our SiriusXM Fantasy show this morning here. And it's kind of the right matchup for both teams. I do think that Houston's pass rush is going to create all sorts of havoc for Rodgers. He's going to try to get rid of the ball quickly in this one here. If the corners can stay healthy for Houston, I think this is a really sweet matchup for them. But meanwhile, their own offensive line has issues, especially if Brown can't play, Trent Brown can't play, then I think that might be a problematic for them to try to move the ball as well. I think this is just going to be a game in the muck. I think this has got 20-17 written all over it there. So I don't really have a strong opinion on the side, but I really feel good about the total. I set my total at 37 when I was setting my own lines on this one here. DK Metcalf coming back is a big deal, obviously. It just changed things around the goal line for them a little bit there. They need that big physical receiver. Otherwise, this would be a game in the low 30s, I think.
Yeah, but he'll have Derek Stingley draped all over him. And that pass rush, getting to Aaron. We've seen when Aaron Rodgers has footsteps at this point in his career and there's any pressure on him, he's not making throws. Now, he was brilliant the other day, but that's because he had pockets to throw through. He is Jeff Erickson, rotowire.com senior editor, @Jeff_Erickson on X. You can also catch him, as he mentioned, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, if my memory serves, channel 87 here. All right.
Ding, ding, ding. Correct.
Not official. A little PTSD. Not official plays for you here. Rams and Carolina. I'm just curious. If I force you to bet something here, what would you look at with the Rams laying 10 on the road and the total at 46 and a hook?
I would probably go on the under 46.5 is probably the lean. In my mind, I kind of recreated the last game and thought the line was originally set at 7. No, it was at 10 or 10.5, depending where you're looking. It's about the same as where it was before. The bookmaker is just like, let's run it back. And I kind of agree with that concept. So I'm kind of like, I'm probably not going to go on that, go anywhere on that. Devontae Adams is going to play in this one, it looks like, too. They're kind of purposely holding him back. They hit their stride offensively in the second half, too. I think this is the end of the road for Carolina. Again, I'm going to try to find all the anti-Bryce Young props. He played very well against them last time. Go ahead, do it again. I dare you. I was wrong last week, by the way. He threw for 264 against the Bucs. Go ahead, try to prove that again, that you can do it again this week. I'll probably anything like 210 or higher, I'm going to bet the under on Bryce Young and the passing yard props too.
Yeah, I don't believe in Bryce Young in any which way. And also, rotowire.com, you're working on a new piece. Tell us what they can find coming up there when it comes to rotowire.com.
Yeah, we're doing a way too early 2026 rankings, top 10 in each position. Not going to go mega deep. We did this last year, kind of a roundtable concept, have five of us and just do a composite set of rankings just to set the debate as well. Just to start thinking about that, because you know what? Best ball drafts will start the day after the Super Bowl. People are already turning their page to 2026. A lot of people play just for the fantasy aspect of it there. So why not? It's great content to have. It's something we can debate.
He is Jeff Erickson. You can find that article up at rotowire.com, over on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, channel 87, and across the network here on VSiN. We appreciate you, as always, doing this, my friend. We will chat next week, coming off the end of the wild card round of the postseason. Have a great rest of your night.
Thank you, Dustin.
Awesome stuff from Jeff Erickson. Read that piece over at rotowire.com. You can never stop prepping for next year. That's what I would say. Like, the best stuff comes what jumps out to you now. File it away. Use it during prep time. And speaking of prep, Oh, this next segment could be dangerous. Process. That's what Saban and Belichick talk about. I will take you through the Sweetelson process. And by the way, I am a moron, so you should be able to follow it. That's coming up on the other side of Cashing Out.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it, it is Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for hanging out with me all night long from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Coming up in 15 minutes, we will ask Sean Green from the Sports Gambling Podcast, can his Philadelphia Eagles make another run to the Super Bowl? I feel like people don't want to talk about it because it's not optically appealing. Like, they're not an entertaining team to watch. But that defense, we know it's going to keep it low scoring. You know they're going to smother people. And then Jalen Hurts only has to do enough. And I think maybe too much is being made up of some of the issues they've had offensively. If they can run the football, and maybe that's just not with Saquon Barkley. Maybe it's with Tanks Bigsby. Maybe it's with Will Shipley. If they can run the football with that defense, they have a chance to go on a run here in the NFC and end up in the Super Bowl playing for the Lombardi Trophy in San Francisco. So we'll ask Sean about that in 15 minutes on the show. Plus, later on in about 45 minutes, I had to do the math on the fly, 45 minutes, I will unveil my top two head coach openings in the NFL this offseason. But right now, I want to look at the NBA, and I want to do this every night on the show. Now, I am an NBA player prop bettor. I do not bet sides or totals very often unless it's a situation that I absolutely love or it's the playoffs. But when it comes to betting the NBA day in and day out, I like betting on NBA player props. And on Monday, we went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 2. And here's the whole handicap. Somebody is not playing. Who benefits? Have the books adjusted the number enough? So we're going to do that right now here on the show. What I like to do at the beginning of my process is I like to look at the potential guys who could be out according to the injury reports. And right now, the first one that jumps out to me is that for the Magic and the Wizards, which, by the way, can always be a blowout, which is one of many things working against you when you bet overs and player props. Now, because everything is about who benefits because someone's out of the lineup, I am betting overs in these spots. There are opportunities based on matchups to look at unders and situations to look at unders, but this is how I attack it for dealing with players being out of the lineup. Because my whole theory is everyone complains about load management being an issue to why you don't want to bet on the NBA. No, make it an advantage. Give you a chance here to find a way to exploit that players aren't playing all the time. And the books can only do so much in adjusting these player props. But Orlando's laying 6.5 on the road at Washington. The total in the game is 234.5. And as far as the injury report's concerned, Jalen Suggs is listed as doubtful with a knee. And when Jalen Suggs is out of the lineup, there are a few people that have made sense to me lately. Like, if you have not been betting on Anthony Black for the last month with the opportunities he's getting, you have missed out on a run here, because Anthony Black, pulling up his game log, last month he averaged 18.9, 5.9, and 4.5. Okay, this is a guy who has not done a ton in his career, still young, 21 years old, but he has emerged as one of many guys for Orlando right now, and he benefits mostly from Franz Wagner being out. If Jalen Suggs is not available, he gets an even bigger boost. But here's the problem. Even though it's a good matchup, taking on Washington, who, looking at the matchups, they allow the second most points to opposing shooting guards. The books have adjusted his number. His points, rebounds, and assists, which I like to bet on. It feels safer. I think Mike Somich once did a study that's really not safer. You're better off just betting points. But I feel a little bit better about betting a PRA and a guy who could be contributing across the board. The problem is the book's adjusted. His PRA is 29.5. That's a lot high. It's been in the low mid 20s for the most part here. I still think against Washington, I'm gonna play it and see what happens. But just because Suggs is a guard and Anthony Black is also a guard, that doesn't mean someone else can't benefit from Suggs not being in the lineup. That's still points. That's still rebounds that have to get spread out among other guys. And this is a great matchup for Wendell Carter, the center. So Wendell Carter is going to take on a Washington team that allows the third most points to opposing centers, allows the most rebounds to centers. Going through Wendell Carter's game log, he took on the Wiz earlier this year, played 28 minutes on November 1st in a 125-94 win for the Magic. And Wendell Carter had 16 points and 12 rebounds. So that's 28. Probably better to go with his points and rebounds than go with his PRA, points, rebounds, and assists combined. So let's see what his points and rebounds are. Wendell Carter, 21.5. I love it. We're going to go over 21.5 points and rebounds for Wendell Carter against Washington, where the last 2-3 years, they've been really bad defending front court players. So that is two that we're locking in right now. Two players in the Magic, Anthony Black over PRA, Wendell Carter over points and rebounds. A player that I want to target, but I don't see props out for him yet, because Murray for Sacramento. Let me get the actual report. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe he's out. Keegan Murray has been listed as out for Sacramento. And the Kings are going to take on the Mavericks, where that game right now, we're looking at a side of 5.5, Dallas laying it on the road. 231.5 is your total. And when Keegan Murray's out of the lineup, the guy that I like to back is Nate Clifford. Now, when we do this segment, I'm not always going to have someone in the moment that I like to back. So let me pull up the Keegan Murray game log, see games that he has missed recently, because that's the best way to look at how someone performs, someone steps up in his stead. So I'm seeing two games last week where we did have Nate Clifford in at least one of them, maybe both of them. And with Keegan Murray out of the lineup in a 125-101 loss to the Lakers, let's see, Nate Clifford, the rookie out of Colorado State, he had 11 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. In another game, it was against Dallas, ironically, and they're going to face Dallas again. Against Dallas in a 113-107 win for the Kings at home, Nate Clifford had 8 points, 9 rebounds, and 1 assist. Okay, so good on the rebounding front for him, because he's not like a guy who grabs a ton of boards traditionally. He's a good bucket getter off the bench. I think this could be a spot where Nate Clifford, points, rebounds, and assists combined across the board. He's someone I like in that role. Let's see. Nate Clifford, I just want to see the last few games out for him, just because you want to see how he's done. Aside from having an advantage without Murray available, Nate Clifford, 7-2-1 last time versus Milwaukee, only 3-2-1 against Phoenix. Yeah, he's going to have to play 20-something minutes, it looks like, for us to have a good game. But when he plays 20-plus minutes, he does perform, ironically, the last two games at 19 minutes, right at that cutoff line. I know it sounds stupid to harp on that, but it's making a difference in the outcomes here. That's all I'm going to point out. It's a little ridiculous, but when he's playing 20, 25-plus minutes, he is contributing across the board. I'd go PRA because I'm seeing some games like against Houston back on December 21st. It was an overtime game, so stats a little padded, but he had 6 points and 6 rebounds to go with 4 assists. So if he gets the run, there's going to be opportunities, and that's the name of the game in the NBA. The difference between the 7th, 8th, 9th guy in the lineup and the 10th, 11th, and 12th sometimes isn't all that great on some of these teams, where all it takes is one of those guys to not be available, and that 12th, 11th, 10th guy, they just get a little bit more run. All of a sudden, they could go off and go way over a very low number, because those numbers are based on algorithms. They're somewhat based on matchups, but those guys on the bench, when you go deeper down the lineup, those are not guys that the sports book's accounting for. That's why some of these leagues want those banned as options to bet on. So I think Nate Clifford, once we get some props on him, he's someone that I'm considering that I'll probably have a bet on for Sacramento without Murray in the lineup there. Because it's really hard to figure out, right? Murray isn't going to play for Sacramento. So does that mean LaVine takes up his buckets? Does DeMar DeRozan, right? There's a few different guys who could step up there. That's hard to predict. What you can predict is someone off the bench is going to be on the floor way more than they normally should be. So that's why I like Nate Clifford in that matchup. It's Cashing Out VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We're going through the process, looking at Tuesday's NBA card to see what player props jump out to us. And that brings us to Cleveland and Indy. Cavs laying 5.5. Your total's 234.5. Donovan Mitchell has already been ruled out for this matchup. Cleveland's a tough team, though, man. They're a tough team to figure out who benefits because, I'm going to pull it up right here, but two most recent outings where Garland hasn't played, well, he's missed 3 games this year. So let me pull up all 3. Let me get you all 3 for Donovan Mitchell. He missed a game against Chicago, which they lost 136-125. He missed a game against Miami, which they won 130-116. And he missed a game early in the year where they lost to Toronto 112-101. So let's pull all these up. and see who benefits. And in this one that I'm pulling up against Toronto, Evan Mobley was playing, and he benefited a lot. Evan Mobley, 29-8-3 in that game. DeAndre Hunter had 26-6-5. I'm seeing that Jalen Tyson, who went off a few times early in the year, 18-3-4. He's someone I'm going to file away and think about here. But remember, there was no Darius Garland at that point in time. The next game, Garland is the one who benefits, 35-8-2. Jared Allen also had 14-12-5 in this game. Jalen Tyson, 9-5-1. DeAndre Hunter off the bench, 25 minutes, 11-3-1 there. So that's the second game. And then the third game, DeAndre Hunter again, 21-6-2. Jared Allen, 30-10-2. And then let's see, no one else really jumping out to me here. Lonzo Ball did have 15-8. So taking on Indiana, let's look at the matchups real quick. Indiana, not good against point guards rebounding. I think it's going to be Garland in an up and down game against the Pacers. He's someone that I would think about targeting. That would be the last guy I think about, or maybe Jared Allen against the front court. We will see. And I'll throw that up at vsim.com/picks once I figure out which one it is exactly there. But that's the process. Went better than expected. We'll do it every night in the show, trying to get ahead of some player prop movements. Can the Eagles go back to back? Feels like it's only being whispered about. We'll discuss it on the other side of cashing out.